That's the exciting thing. You know, I coach a soccer team, and you know, when you coach in a soccer team, you've got to get them to play together, and you've got to kind of give them a pep talk. You've got to get them excited. And at certain times, it's like realizing, like, hey, guys, like, there's something happening here. Let's all look to the same direction. Let's get onto the same page. Let's be part of this. And that's the good news. The good news is that it actually says, if it seems that Christ is slow in coming, with us waiting for Jesus to come, it says that he desires for all to be saved. That there's a saving grace, that God actually desires all to be saved, and then I want to sit back and wait for Jesus then to save them. Hurry up. And we missed the point, and that's kind of the topic for this morning. And I see last time I spoke here, I actually had the flu. And it went my very quick. This morning, I'm sorry. I'm just apologizing. Because I know some guys are like, hey, this guy, yo, he was quick last time. Lacquer. Oh, okay. We're getting to know each other. Okay. We're getting to know each other. This morning, I want to jump into 1 Corinthians. It is a bit of a long piece of scripture. I'll try and rush through all the scriptures. I've got quite a I don't want to say a bulk sermon. I'm going to respect your time, but I'm only going to scratch the surface this morning. But I want to hopefully that it's like, hey, God, in Romans, it says, let God change the way you think. That it's almost like, hey, God, my eyes have been opened. Because in order for this power to operate, it's a God revealed to us then. And here it is. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, from 12, it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I guess me reading this, you'll probably understand where I'm going to go with this. And maybe it's so simple, we can just read this one verse and go home. But it says that all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I've got like 3 points. I'll try to do my best not to take it too long and draw it out. But these 3 points, the first one is, we are his body. I've also got some scriptures I have put out there. I'll run through it. But this morning, I really hope that it will be, it's, you know, I don't want to say a concept. You see, because the thing is, God is greater than that. But yes, this is a metaphor and it's figurative, and yes, it's regarded as the body of Christ. There's the body of Christ, we're the bride of Christ. There's a few illustrations that kind of like paint the picture of who we are together. But most importantly, it says that we are his body. Ephesians 1:23 says, and the church is his body. I like Colossians 1:18 because when you go and read it, it speaks about the supremacy of Christ. It speaks about how Christ is the greatest. Christ supreme. And then in that, while it's giving you all these scriptures, that is saying the importance of Christ. And I really believe there's some of us here, we get that. It's like loving God, loving people. I get the loving God, it's the loving people that is my challenge. You see, the thing is that we can all say, yes, Christ supreme, Christ is all to Jesus. And we do, and we like, hey, we elevate that and we got that good. But in the same area, it didn't come five chapters later. It's in describing who Christ is, Christ supreme. It says there that Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. Christ has a body. It's such a privilege to come and speak to you today, because when I look at you guys, guess what I'm looking at? The body of Christ. You see, because what he does is he says that you become a part of it. You know, a lot of times people ask me, I'm looking for a job. And I'm like, well, are you a Christian? And it's like, yeah, no, I'm a Christian. Well, then I'm like, well, just ask God. He's got plenty work for you to do. See, and very quickly they change. And I'm like, exactly. You're not looking for a job. You're looking for money. You see, there's a difference. If you want work to do, God has got plenty. You're employed already. That's why it says, come and work for me. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink and stuff. He will provide for you. You see, God has already put you into a place that you have purpose, that you have value. See, the hardest thing that sometimes when I've been saved, I hear things like the church just wants your money. You see, and the reality is, yes, you do get some churches and some people that just want your money. But that should never take away from the fact that the church is still his body. You see, the church just wants free labor. They're using you. Yes, there's people that do use people, yes, and it is within the church. But higher than that, the church is the body. You see, I had to quickly also come to a point of just repenting. It's like, you know, you can come and have just sort of opinions about church and the people God brings into the church. And I had to repent. My heart had to change. My attitude had to change. But it was through this that realizing that actually it says that we belong to each other. You see, Ephesians 5, it carries on to say that as the church submits to Christ, that's our role, to submit to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. The next verse, it says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That Christ died for the church. You see, I needed to start to put value and understand into, wait, this is actually something sacred taking place here. Not that we didn't have anything to do on a Sunday and we had to fill up our busy schedule. No. We started to see it different. That we started to see the potential that is in here. We started to see the value here because Christ died for this. You see, just as I was reading that, you can't separate yourself. You're going to be like, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Well, I can't debate that too much, but I just can say that you're going to be really not as functional as you would be if you are not connected to the body. That's what he is saying. This morning was really on my heart that it's like, God, what are you trying to say with this? And at times it's like, no, I need a fresh new perspective of what's taking place here, of who these people are sitting next to me. What is God doing with one another? Where do I fit in with this? You see, that's why it would be like very, like you can start to understand, or it might seem weird when someone comes up there and says, hey, we love you. See, I don't know what filter you're looking through, but when you start to understand, it's because God is putting parts together that I want to say to you, there's going to be a power displayed through us fulfilling our role as Christ intended. So my second point, halfway there, almost there. It's going to take humility. So maybe you're like, okay, well, what does it take, this body thing? Because yes, I love Jesus. And yes, I've given my life. It takes humility. It says here in verse 18, it said that, but our bodies have many parts and God has put each part just where he wants it. 25 says, this makes for harmony among members so that all the members care for each other. See, Romans, as it is on the screen, says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. That means you got a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all, belong to each other. See, I don't know where this song comes from. It's not a Christian song, but it's, I belong to you, you belong to me. You see that what he's saying is like in the body, we actually belong to each other. You see, just the same way that I want to come up here and represent God well, and you guys are probably like keeping check, making sure that I am. You see that I'm in line, because as soon as I say something out of line, we'll be corrected. And it should be. It's understandable. And we would hope so. You see that there's this sort of expectation that gets put because this belongs to you. And at the same time, you have giftings and you've got a part to play that belongs to us. And that's why there comes this desire of saying, hey, we want you to fulfill that role that you're supposed to play. I think that when you get older and your body starts to like change, and there's certain parts of the body that doesn't function like it used to function, you know, you start to like put emphasis on how can I make this part of the body right? Like right now, I've got a knee problem. I've got a knee that keeps me very humbled. But because of my knee problem, there's things I can't do that I was doing just the other day. So every time I'm doing something, I've always got to think of my knee. I can't do it because my knee is not going to hold me. You see, sometimes our bodies, the body of Christ, I think sometimes it's operating in the same way. It's like we can't do that because we don't have that. And then it's like, oh, these guys are trying to just get free labor. No. The good news is God has brought you into something. And to do that, it takes humility. James 4 verse 10, it says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Just very quickly, what is humility? Oh, this was a hard word for me to learn. You know, I thought I knew everything until this word humble was thrown in front of me. And I had to start valuing others above myself. I had to start putting the interests of others before myself. You see, to be a part of this body is that I've actually got to take the focus of me doing such an amazing job to actually looking at you guys and wanting you to do a great job. Like, I want you to succeed. See, the world does it the other way around. I need to succeed. I need to be important. I need to get all the attention. But the other way around is, no, we want you to succeed. What is your gifting? What has God got on your heart? We want you to fulfill that. Because in that, I'm going to be fulfilling what God has for me. It takes humility, a hard one for many people to at times take the interests of others above your own. This might need, for some of us, I don't want to say counseling, but it takes time. It might need some God like teaching you through the scriptures of what does this mean? Because there is an enemy that does creep in, that does make us want to build higher walls, that does want to separate ourselves from other people, especially when they don't look the way we expect them to look. There's an enemy that wants us divided. The enemy wants us separated. Philippians 2, just to bring it into context of what I said, it says here, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only at your own interests, but also at the interests of others. Scripture saying it. For those that, this is what the Bible's telling us to do. Ephesians, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So it's going to take humility. So growing up, I don't know if anyone's got a roast. Is there a thing like a roast in the oven, eh? That you've got to go switch. Hey, Macha, the oint is on off. It's just that, eh? The roast is cooking, okay? Got to make quick, preacher, okay? In preparing this message, I was thinking of growing up, my mom would do a roast chicken. A Sunday roast, eh? And that chicken would be cut up into portions. But being the youngest, you always got the last portion. Because dad chooses first, mom gets second helping, the eldest, I was the youngest, he chooses. But being a family of four, I'm just so grateful. The chicken had two legs, okay? but you're like, yes, but I do have sympathy for those that have bigger families, okay? Six kids, one chicken. Shame. But how things have turned, because now my son. I want to say my lightning, eh? My son. He chooses first. Hey, what has gone on with society? The kids are ruling. I'm a weak parent. Eh? I thought I was being humble. Like, but the reality it is, he chooses first. Now I don't mind. I don't mind actually, because he chooses first. Thankfully, he hasn't got a big appetite. Then it's the wife. And then guess what? The rest is mine, okay? I remember also my dad. Oh, this is a story. Like, my dad would order KFC. You're a bucket. And then he takes the KFC, he puts all the pieces out there. Yo, then he's so disgusted when he gets that piece of chicken, or that piece of chicken. That it's like when he goes and orders his bucket, he's like, I only want these pieces, okay? And it made me realize that's how we sometimes are. You go to ShopRite, they sell those chicken feet, eh? Anyone eat chicken feet? Yeah, like there's some people like, oh. You know, there's pieces of that chicken that on the chicken, there's also that thing they call the tail, but you guys call it something else. There's that tail thing. Anyone eat that? Yeah, there's a few. But anyone just like, no, I don't like that piece. It made me realize that's how sometimes we are with the Bible, with Scripture. There's certain things we like to talk about. I like that piece. Oh, I don't like talking about that. Why do they have to talk about that? You see that we can come into this, the same thing with the body of Christ. That we can come in here with the same thing of like, well, why don't we all look the same? And we want to conform. And we want only thighs given here. Or we only want legs. You see, and we want to discard the rest of the body. But I thank God, next time you see those chicken feet, you're going to be like, thank you, chicken feet. Because if it wasn't for those chicken feet, scratch it in the ground. We've got chickens at home, so I've been checking out this chicken. Eh? But that chicken that scratches there, you're going to see those chicken feet next time and you're going to be like, donkey. I appreciate those feet, okay? Because it was scratching there. My last point is that Christ is the head. It's the head that is feeding that body. That there's a part of saying, hey, I love the thighs, I love the legs, I love the chicken, whatever. But if it wasn't for the head that was eating and feeding that body. You see, you can cut the head off a chicken. And that chicken can run around a little bit longer until it dies. But it's going to die. It's going to live a short life. You see, sometimes we can easily cut their head off and think, hey, we're still running around. We're still moving. But there's going to come a point where just be careful. You're not going to live as long as you are expected if you don't have the head. The head feeds the chicken. The head feeds the body. I want to read Romans 12. And if you know 12, 1 and 2, a lot of people are like, hey, let God change the way you think. And then this is what it always builds up to. A lot of people are like, oh, they know Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let God change the way you think through the renewing of your mind. Give yourself as a living sacrifice. Probably had it the wrong way around. 2, then 1. Okay. But the reality is it goes on to say this. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is given, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility serious. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. See, there he's saying, and I'm only scratching the surface, that you might be like, oh no, I'm not any of those. And you, I'm safe. Okay, I'm off the hook. No. He has given you a role. There's more scriptures. There's more things. I'm only scratching the surface. We know there's other giftings. The body has many parts. But it comes from him. Let me just tell you something, that God's goodness is so much so that he also elevates you. Certain things is just a season. It's a season. So don't think like, oh, I've got to make a career out of this. Not always. There's seasons of growth, of maturity, that these things that you're serving in, that God will lead you to the next thing. You see, there's some people that's been praying here. I don't even know who they are. But I need to stand here and say, thank you. I need to seriously be like, thank you. Because if it wasn't for their prayers, I don't know where we would be. And there's people doing things that we don't see. And I want to say to you, is like, keep doing it. Don't be discouraged. And maybe you're here and you're like, well, where do I go? How do I, or what do I do? And I want to say there's areas that you can grow and become part of the body. And that's where, like, for example, there's maybe Bible study, there's different programs, the D6. There's certain things that you can get connected to, not to like take away from you, but to add value into you, to help you onto that journey of, I'm doing what God has asked me to do. I'm fulfilling your role within the body. The good news with that is that you're going to benefit from the successes of those around you, because you all are part of each other. That when one overcomes, we all overcome. Like, you know, it's encouraging. It's encouraging to see what God is doing in other people's lives. Because it's the same God moving there that is moving here. It's the same Spirit. And we should be encouraged, that we should expect far greater. And in closing, Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. It says, yeah, how could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? You see, yeah, it's saying like one is chasing 1,000, but two, 10,000. I want to say to you is that when we come together, that in our numbers, that it's, we can do far greater. That even like Jesus saying, hey, you guys will do far greater. That God's power is going to be displayed in our unity. And you are a part of it. We are a part of it. And we desire, like God's heart is that you will, like, hey, God, I want to fulfill what you have for me. So in leaving here, Christ is the head. You have to come to a point of saying, God, I surrender. God, I want to be part of this. See, there's only one way to the Father, and that is in Christ Jesus. That is acknowledging what Jesus did on the cross, that he died and he rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. There's a place coming in repentance that you have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's a recognition that, yes, I have died to my old life, and it's by faith. I put my faith in what Jesus did, that I ask him to come and live inside my life. Like, that is an important part. Like, that has to happen. And in that, the Holy Spirit will start to move in your life. And already, there's some of you here, I want to say, like, you know what you should be doing already. And you're not doing it. Because I know how the Holy Spirit works. He encourages us. And there's some of us sitting here that maybe you know, like, there's something there that it's like, I need to. I want to encourage you, it's like, hey, you're good with excuses. I know. But it's time to say, yes, Lord, choose me. I'll go. Here I am. Maybe it's a phone call. I don't know what it is to you, but I want to encourage you to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And realize that you are part of something far greater than yourself. That I'm not my own. You belong to me. I belong to you. Let's bow our heads. Father, firstly, I just thank you for your love that saves us from a life of destruction. That through what Jesus did on the cross, that we can find salvation, that we can find peace with you, Lord. That Jesus comes to set captives free. But maybe this morning you got to agree and say, I pick up my cross. I pick up my cross. And I'm following you. I'm dropping that net. And I'm following you. And Father, I thank you for what you call us out of. But more importantly, I thank you for what you call us into. That we become far greater, Lord God, in you. That is in us. That Father, for each person sitting here, that they belong. There's a part, there's a part that they play in your kingdom. That if maybe they're sitting here feeling like I don't add value, that's a lie, Lord. That I pray this morning, as this message goes out, your Holy Spirit will counsel, do the work of bringing understanding, comforting, but that this word doesn't return void, that we get a deeper understanding of what church actually represents, what the body has been created for. That far greater are you that is in us as a body than us that is just roaming this world. Father, I thank you for each person sitting here. May your love just fill them. That they are so loved by you. That they are received by you. That you are for them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I felt whilst Stanley was ministering that people in their hearts acknowledge the fact that they need to be part of the body of Christ, but they've been hurt. They've been disappointed. And they at a place where just say, I'd rather just come to church and leave and I won't be hurt again. I want to challenge you in this morning. We're going to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out, but I want you to respond to the Holy Spirit in this morning. Let's just everybody bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, I want to pray for your children, especially those that sit here that has been hurt in some or other way, some that is still bleeding and some with scars. I pray that the balm of Gilead will just flow over their lives in this very moment and that they will surrender this hurt, the offense, and move forward, and that they will be released today from that hurt. In Jesus' name, amen.